Other and have some fun, and that's a tough thing to do. The world says, oh, this is terrible. How do you do that? Well, when we have fellowship with one another in our Creator God, we have a lot of joy. So it's interesting. I look at that, and it says, who, for the joy is set before us, endured the stake or cross, whatever word you want to use. I find that very interesting. With desire, the King James even says, with great desire. Have we had great desire to be here? Yes. Is this something that we really, 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 really want? Or is it something that we are enduring? Oh, no. You mean I got to get ready and I got to clean my house and I got to do all these things? Oh, the job, my boss, and everybody's after me in every way I can think about. Oh, I don't know just how I'm going to do it. Or is it, wow, what a joyful occasion. What an opportunity that He has given us that we can come and eat with Him. Eat with Him. Have a meal with Him. We kind of went through, you guys are going to go to tonight, but we looked through the whole idea of what the Passover means. Do you really understand that you're sitting down and eating the supper with Him, and when He returns, you're going to have it again? He's going to drink that wine with you again in the kingdom? Wow. We're going to be there personally. I don't like to use this too often, but I've seen a vision of that meal, and I'm telling you, it is a fantastic place to be. The doors and the table is set, and everything is there, and everything's ready. He's made it ready for us. He says, I got to go and prepare a place for you. And as we think about this, you know, the opportunity that is afforded us to come together with Him and have fellowship and worship together. What a fantastic time that this is. And He said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat the Passover before you, before I suffer. This interesting concept. If we have to suffer, or in His case, He had to suffer. Do we have to suffer?
Yes.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
You know, there's a scripture that says, count all joy and you fall into diverse temptations. How can you do that? I mean, over the years I've struggled with that, you know, in my personal life and talking with God about it. How can I be joyous when I'm going through all of this? And then you realize, where does the joy come from? It is the journey. We just sang the song here. When there be no more sorrow in the kingdom of God. That's where we're headed. See, we've got to look to the end game and accomplish what's going to be accomplished. What He's doing. Looking unto Jesus, Yeshua, the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the one that has designed this. And we're on this journey. And I was trying to make it my pathway. That just doesn't work. It's His pathway. And I noticed in the past, I was corrected for praying for people by the ministry, that, you know, take all these problems away from them, whatever it is. And they told, you don't want to do that. I said, what? What do you mean? He said, no, you don't want to do that. You want to pray for strength for them to go through it so they can do whatever the Creator wants built in them. And without that pathway, without those trials, those are the things that make us. And they also make us appreciate the kingdom to come. Because if you've been through it and you got the scars on your belt and your face or wherever they are, you realize how blessed it is to receive that pleasant environment. Very interesting. So, for the joy that was set before me, that's quite a statement. The only way that we can really accomplish being joyful in trials and tribulations, Paul made the statement, being content wherever, whatever state I find myself in. I have to admit, I've not always been there. I've been struggling a lot of times in my past, in my spiritual walk, to be content. I say, God, what are you doing? Right now, some of you know that I have a trial that I'm going through right now because I can't pee. And you look at that principle, it's been about 2 years. And I'm used to God healing me almost immediately. I've died basically, well, you might say 4 times. And been healed immediately. One time I even died in church. And it's very interesting. One person said to me, how can you be so happy about that? I said, what better place to go? I mean, come on. You're worshiping God and you got all these people around you that are worshiping God. What a place. What a place to be. See, we have the opportunity here in this life to do what he did. What did he do? He said, he did pray, right? Take this cup from me if it be possible. So we're in good company. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. That's quite a statement. There's a lot of power in it. And most of us don't really think about it from the aspect of he knew exactly what he was going to go through when he made that statement. Exactly. Endured. Endured. That's another word there. Endured. Enduring is something that makes it kind of hard to do, right? But if you're going to count it for joy, that word endure kind of fades away. It's there. It's real. But it kind of fades away. You realize the outcome. For consider him that endured such a contractionation of sinners against himself. Somebody was against him. Do you and I realize, I know we do, but I state it in that way, do we realize that an adversary wants to kill us? Yes. That's what he wants to do. He wants to destroy all of mankind. He just doesn't want people that are called. He wants to destroy them all. That's his goal. That's his end game. And God's end game is completely different. I wish above all things, you know, that people with what? That all, that none would perish. He knows they will, but he doesn't want that. That's not his will. His will is that they would all be saved. You have not yet resisted under blood, striving against it. You're in this tough situation. Yeah, it's a place you don't want to be in. It hurts and you're bleeding maybe. In this case, he says, not unto blood. I'm talking about spiritual blood, not just physical blood. Most of us have been injured in some way or another, skin the knee or something and shed a little blood from falling down. But how many of us have given the blood for somebody else? Our very life. That life-giving blood that flows through our veins that somebody else may live. And if we know if we give it, we're going to die. Interesting. Why was it so important for him to have that Passover? Why did he have that desire? Because he knew the suffering that we were going to go through. And he knew that if he didn't open that door, we would not be able to enter. That price had to be paid. Because remember, like I said, he prayed that it be taken from him. But Hebrews tells us, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Why? Why is that law there? Because we have to realize that sin brings death. And the only way that you can not have death is have that debt forgiven. Have you forgotten an exhortation which is spoken unto you, verse 5, is unto children. Children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. A lot of us don't understand that word chastening. I don't want to go through all the Hebrew or the Greek definitions and all that. But basically, it means a training in a diverse or a hard situation. A training. A program. So learning something, in other words. A transformation, if you will, from what you've been doing to something new and realize that this way doesn't work very good. It hurts. It creates a problem, big problem. For whom the Lord loveth and chasteneth and scourges every son whom he receiveth. Everyone! So you're not unique. I'm not unique in our trials. Satan knows where our weakest points are. And let me tell you, he loves them. He goes right after them. Kicks you when you're down. When you're emotionally down. You ever notice that? Somebody will say something and you're really sensitive and, oh, that just crushed your spirit. Where do you think that came from? That individual? No. Came from the one that wants to destroy you. So, I've got this kind of a saying that I use on my whip myself with, and that's that if Satan is mad at me, that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. That means I'm doing something right. I've told this before, I know many times, and shortly after I was baptized, why Satan came after me and said, I want to kill you. Last night I thought I had a chance, but today I want to kill you. Wow. Last night he thought he had a chance? It's a good thing I got this trial that I'm going through right now where the whole family is attacking me. They're actually my wife's family. Interesting. Because now I'm responding and he hates me. And I knew it was a problem, so I prayed before I went. I was out in the field being a hobby farmer. I was out in the field harvesting some of my crop. And I saw my brother-in-law's car fly down the road. He doesn't drive like that. So I stopped right there in the field and bowed my head on the tractor. I said, I don't know what's going on, but we need your help. And he did help immensely. He sent an angel there to help me and strengthen me. You know, when we start looking at these principles that we're talking about, chastening, my persecution was chastening, but it did something. It did something in my inner spirit. Because after, you know, now sharing it with you, hopefully it helps with you in your spirit. When those things come upon you and Satan is trying to attack you, and especially where you're weakest and vulnerable. And, you know, it's an interesting thing. When we walk this walk, we have to talk the talk. If we talk the talk, we have to walk the talk. And it's a two-way street. You can't. This is not a game that we're in. This is eternal life. And eternal life is the end game, so to speak. But it is a process. You don't suddenly become spiritual. No, it doesn't work that way. You have to work at it and grow and change and develop. So the scourging of the sons whom he receiveth, he's got to do it to everyone. It can't be just him. It can't be just your mate or your kids or your grandkids. It's interesting. You know, when we start looking at these things, or great-grandkids or great-great-grandkids, how do you think he feels about it? Well, we can look at Genesis and we look at the idea of what went on. And it grieved him at his heart that every thought was evil continually. What did that do to him? Think about it from that point of view. Wasn't that a trial? With the great love that he has a greater love than you or I. And here, he had to suffer that. He had to carry that load. But he looked ahead. I have an idea. And he found this man that found grace in the Old Testament, by the way. Interesting. And he said, I want to keep on going with this piece of junk that I've, what they've done to him, what I created with that great love and compassion. And he gave him a way out, didn't he? He says, I'm going to give you a plan. You know what this plan is? It's to build a boat. A boat? Yeah, build a boat. Everybody starts laughing. Laughing. But he built the boat anyway. Guess what? What's that boat represented? Your spiritual walk and my walk? It was really a place of safety, wasn't it? Interesting. You had to get in the ark. Well, our place of safety is our Messiah and the sacrifice that He gave us. That's our place of safety. When you get down on your knees, as I said, out in the field, you actually pray, you're going to the place of safety. Interesting. Not just physically here or spiritually, but it's a transformation from this world to the next. We have access that He's given us. Oh, my computer locked up again. See if I can get it moving. All right. But without chastisement, we're all partakers, then we are bastards. In other words, children without parents or a father. But if He corrects us, He's our Father. So when you are in a state of all this problems that you're carrying, all the weight of the world on your shoulders, which you don't need to do, but we do that, you can go to your Father. You have a Father, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. It's interesting. When I was a youngster, my dad didn't give me many hugs or anything like that. But I did something bad. Believe it or not. But anyway, I did something bad and he was going to punish me. And he wasn't afraid to use what in those days was called a razor strap. And he picked me up and put me in his lap and held me. That did so much to my spirit. Way more than the razor strap could have ever done. It humbled my spirit. So when we have a Father that picks us up and puts us in His arms, when we're hurting, we know we screwed up. But He cherishes us and gives us that blessing of that hug. Interesting. Let's see here. The mouse keeps moving around. For a few days, chastisement. After that, pleasure. Interesting. You know, we pass through this life. I'm going to tell you a little secret. You're not going to get out of this life alive. It's not going to happen. We all got to pass through that. Pass through that doorway and that sleep. Let me put it that way. That ultimately, what happens after you have a restful sleep? Even in the physical realm, what happens? You wake up some mornings, maybe not so rested, but other mornings you're refreshed. You hear the birds sing, and you smell in that fresh air into your lungs, and you take that extra breath because it feels so good. That's kind of like a resurrection in a way, isn't it? When you think about it. For the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the perishable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. It's interesting. What did it yield? This chastisement? Righteousness. Wow. See, that's what I was talking about with a razor strap. Maybe you didn't have a father that blessed you such a way, but I feel blessed that I did. That's what we need to do when we're in this situation of trials that are so heavy and they're so wanting on upon our shoulders that we can't return to God and say, I can't bear this. That's what He wants. He doesn't want you to bear it alone. He wants to carry it. Interesting, isn't it? And until you get to that point of allowing Him to carry it, then you try to carry it yourself and do everything possible. That's interesting because I had an experience where I fell off a building, probably about 20 feet. And I used to play on a trapeze, so I knew all the ins and outs of these trapezes and flying through the air and all that stuff. But it's interesting. First thing you do is you look around and you say, what can I do? Is there something to grab onto? Is there something that I can do? Or can I twist myself in such a way that I'm going to land rightly? That's the first thing that goes to your mind. And you look around, and then you say, well, God, there's nothing I can do. I'm in your hands. You think, well, falling 20 feet, you don't have a lot of time. Oh, yes, you do. You have a lot of time to think. At least I did. Seemed like it's forever. And as I was going down through the air, so far, so good. So far, so good.
Yeah.
And then I hit the ground with my head and shoulders. Well, that wasn't so bad. But then when my hip hit the ground in the tool pouch, that was not good. I said, God, this is not good. And then I couldn't breathe. God, this is not good. Because my lungs had collapsed. They hit the ground so hard. And it pulled the vertebrae halfway out. And I'm thinking, this is not good. But I still never lost my connection. I still, in my trial and my fall, and I want you to understand what I'm saying. I'm not just talking about a fall here. I'm talking about you and I walking through the kingdom of God and how that we do stumble along the ways and we are falling. But we still need to call on Him. And though we have no way out, there is a way out. He promises that. With every temptation, He's going to give you a way out. I will not tempt you above that which you can stand. Very interesting. So, wherefore, lift up thy hands which hang down, thy feeble knees, and make straight the paths of your feet, lest the lame be turned out of the way, but it rather be healed. How are you healed? By doing it yourself? No. Our spiritual healing doesn't come of our own selves. We have a healing that it comes from our Savior and our God. Follow peace with all men, as I talked a little bit last night. That's where the answer lies. Who is the one that accuses? Who is the great accuser of the brethren? Do you want to be with him and start accusing the brethren around the world? Well, that guy is stupid. That guy doesn't do anything. He goes to church on Sunday or whatever. Oh, well, maybe. You better stop and think about something. If he's blind, he can't see. You didn't blind him. Somebody did, right? And those scales cannot be removed until they are removed by our Creator. So following peace with all men is very important. As Mark was admonishing us here, to learn to get along with one another, even though we have differences. And we have differences. Like I said, sometimes I even argue with myself. Can't figure it out. What'd you do that for, you dummy? And then you think about it for a while and you realize, well, I know why I did it, because I screwed it up. How am I going to solve this in the future? Get up, dust yourself off, and try to do it right next time. When I was teaching, I used to tell my students when they made a mistake, that's good, because now you've got that education. Learn how not to do it next time. Don't make the same mistake. Very interesting. So that's how it leads to holiness, when we go through trials and temptations and tribulations and whatnot have you. Because we learn. Each time we go through something, it may be a different thing one time and a different thing another time. Or it may be that you're a hard learner like me, and it takes a long time. You know, better to learn than never learn. Better to have the process of that training, of his chastising that he's putting us through, than to just try to get into the kingdom without even learning the lessons. The lessons of sin. Sin produces death and pain and suffering. Look diligently. Right? So they're looking diligently. What? Lest the man fall. Looking diligently, lest a man fall. God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby may you be defiled. You know how root of bitterness roots up into your system emotionally when you're going through trials? Because you're not really seeing the way out and you want the relief right now. I want it my way and I want it now. And God says, no. You know, maybe your healing is going to come when you're resurrected. Maybe your deliverance will be in death. And you'll have sleep until the resurrection. But no, we want it when we want it. And that's not God's plan always, is it? We do not want to get ahead of God in His timing. And we don't want to be behind God in His timing. So we don't want to tell God, I want my healing right now. And demand it, as some religions teach. We've got to be careful of that. Because maybe that's not the best thing for you. I kind of look at Hezekiah and asking for his healing. And he got healed and added more years. But you don't really see anything spiritually in recorded history that he accomplished after that. Maybe God's plan was better than his. God honored it and give him that opportunity. But, you know, you look at it, I think he knows. And like I said, myself, and I prayed to God when I was dying, I told him, and said, I'm willing to go. I don't have a problem with it. But it's got to be your will. And, you know, I really don't want to go now. But if it's your will, it's your will. I'm not going to fight it. And that was very interesting because then after that I was healed. My heart was about blown apart. And the pain, knife in my chest, twisting and poking it. And after I prayed that prayer, a little while, then I had relief. Interesting how that works. Where did I go? Where did I go? Did I go to, you know, my wife and cry, help me? She was laying beside me, actually. But I didn't. And I've told her about it, and she prayed too. You know, it's interesting how that works. When you're in big trouble, let me put it this way, do you go to your big brother? It's interesting. Who is all powerful? Is that where you go? That's where we need to go. I'm going to skip ahead here. For you know that afterwards, when we would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance. That's what they're supposed to do, our trials. They're supposed to bring about a changing and an opportunity to grow. Did you catch what I said? An opportunity to grow and to change and to develop and to have that holy, righteous character that our Messiah has. But though he sought it carefully with tears, it doesn't work that way. There has to be a journey, a transformation, if you will. For we've not come unto a mount that you might not be touched, or that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor with blackness, or darkness, or tempest. And the sound of the trumpet and the voice of the words which spoke, they heard and treated that word should not be spoken to them. So what you do when you go through a trial? You say, God, I don't want this. It's too tough. It's too scary. Or do you pray for strength? For the opportunity that he's given you to develop holy, righteous character and to work on that thing that he's working on instead of fighting what he's working on. Oh, yeah. We have a lot of emotions and a lot, especially people like, I don't know what you'd say, people with a lot of desires to do good. Sometimes you end up fighting those desires because they're too much. Your heart is too much when you, I have to say this myself, when I look at people, sometimes I feel too much of their pain. And it becomes a burden, a heavy burden, a lot more than you realize. And when that happens, then you are taking it upon yourself and not allowing our Creator to do it through you. I said, through you. I didn't say remove you from the scene. I said through you, because then you become an instrument that He can use. Because now there's something precious that's there. His power and His strength. You know, they didn't even want the word to be spoken to them. I see that in the history of the people that I've dealt with over the years that have been called. After they go through some of the trials, I don't want to hear it no more. Don't. That I don't want to hear that Bible. I don't want it. Don't want to hear those words. Why? Because they don't want to change. They don't come to the understanding that the Bible is the key. Those words that He gave you are a key to your life and your happiness. Your misery is because you've rejected it. It's not the Word. It's your rejection of the Word that has caused your problem. Very interesting, isn't it? So the trials and temptations are something that is to bring us closer to God, not to remove us from it. For they could not endure that which was commanded. Why? That's what I ask myself. Why couldn't they endure it? Because they did not see the love and the compassion that was in the Creator and what He was doing in their lives. He was molding them. He was taking this piece of clay, and guess what? He's putting some water on it, make it soft and pliable, and shaping it the way He wants it. Does that clay say to the potter, I don't want to be this vessel? I'm afraid we do that too often. Walk away and don't accept what He's given us. What He's teaching us, actually training us. And the earth quaked. That's another thing. I don't think people really realize the intensity of that. But the Creator, let me put it this way, the Creator stepping foot on His footstool. Do you realize what that causes the footstool to do? Take a footstool and step on it and see what happens. It kind of reacts, doesn't it? And it's not something that, if the footstool isn't strong enough, the legs are going to break, right? It's interesting. So there's a lot to be said for that fact that He, when that earth shook and trembled, it, I don't know if anybody, has anybody in this room ever been in an earthquake? A couple, three. What was it like? Just shook around and prayed about it, went back to sleep. Were you outside at all? No.
I have been.
I was talking to an individual one time that was in an earthquake, and he was outside, and he couldn't stand up. The earth was moving so much. And he fell down and he looked at it. It was just like waves coming towards him. What does that do? The thing that you're standing on doesn't seem so solid no more, does it? It's very interesting how that works, isn't it? We have to realize that our Creator made this earth. And I'm referring to this piece of clay and that piece of clay that you're in. He made that. And if He so desires, He can shake it up a little bit. And guess what? If He wants to put a little more spirit, water, on you, and spin you a little faster, he's got something in mind. Because that vessel is going to be used for something good in the future. So those trials and temptations and the chastening of the Lord, they're all for your benefit. This physical life that we've been living in and have the opportunity and the blessing to live in, do you realize the angels have desired to go through what we're doing? It's interesting, isn't it? We have this problem. To the general assembly in the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Wow. Quite a statement, isn't it? How did it come about? The mediator of this renewed covenant is what I like to say. And the blood and the sprinkling and the speaking better things than that of Abel. Do we catch what that really means? That means that there has been, you have been made perfect by what? By his holy, righteous character being impregnated into you by your testing and your walking in this life. Now, the end game is very special, and it gives you this opportunity. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. He's speaking to you through your trials. He's speaking to you as an individual through your trials because he knows where your weaknesses are. And well, those weaknesses need to be strengthened. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you got strengths over here. He's not worried about those. He wants to strengthen those weak points and give you an opportunity to grow even more like his other, our elder brother, put it that way. Don't refuse it. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from that speaketh from heaven. This is one of the things in the journey that I've been on that is hard, watching people walk away from the truth. By believing some man telling them something that the Word didn't actually say. And they believed it. What was the problem? The problem was you didn't really stand on the Word of God. You listened just like Eve did in the garden. Oh, God knows the day you eat thereof, you will not surely die. Is that what God said? That's what he said. He said, or was thinking, but not true. Not true. He knows that you will die. That first death. Interesting. He knew that. Why? The question is, why did he allow that? First sin. Why did he allow it? He didn't have to. He could have made that tree so that they couldn't reach it or touch it or whatever. But he didn't do that. Actually, I've read some descriptions, not Bible, but some descriptions of the tree and how it really was. It's very interesting. I don't think we realize how good it smelled, how beautiful it was to look at. You ever walk by a bakery when you've been fasting? Boy, that smells good. I mean, the juices start flowing. Well, I think that's the way that tree was. This is my opinion, of course. But, you know, I look at that and I think, wow, it wasn't really that easy to walk away from. Especially if you had no experience. None with sin. He didn't know what it was like to eat of that tree. You'd never seen anybody else do it. Myself, I grew up with an older brother and I seen him make some mistakes. And I wasn't going to make those same mistakes. I made other mistakes. But I didn't want to make the ones he made. Because I've seen the repercussions. Especially when it came to the razor strap. It's interesting. You know, there's a lot going on in our little minds when we start thinking about our carnality, I guess you might say, how we walk in this world. What we're trying to get out of, instead of walk through it. The voice, whose voice then shook the earth? But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not the earth. What? Only, but also heaven. Wow. That is quite a statement. Do you realize what was just said? Everything's going to shake. That's what I was alluding to last time. The earth shook. But now, the heaven is going to shake as well. That's a lot of shaking going on. You know, again, we can see that it's all tied together. As of those things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may be remained. Did you catch that? That's what our trials are about. The things that cannot be shaken. That holy, righteous character that's going to springboard you into the kingdom. They remain when you go through those trials and tribulations. What they say, sweat, blood, and tears. When you go through those things. Believe you me, I've been there. I've had a lot to do. And I've seen the brethren go through it. It's hard sometimes when you look at it from the point of view that, you know, I want it now, my healing. I want this trial to be over with now. Like I said, I can't believe it's been about 2 years now. I want it over with. It's aggravating. I work as a carpenter. It's not the best thing in the world to walk around with a tube. It's interesting. But I have to realize in His time. His time. And that is the principle that we're talking about here. The other thing that I realized in that trial, when it came upon me, there was people in the Bible study that I was giving that wasn't accepting the truth. They weren't accepting it. So I could put it out there, but it wasn't being received. And that made me feel like I couldn't pee, so to speak, spiritually. There wasn't a relief system. I couldn't help them out of their present state. It wasn't time. It's interesting how that works. There was probably somewhere around, 50, 60 people there. And they were asking me to speak on the Sabbath, you know, about the Sabbath and so forth. A lot of them were Catholics and whatever religion, Jehovah's Witnesses. I don't know, there's a lot of different religions that were there. And I find that interesting that no matter what I said or how I said it, there was always some in the audience that could not get it. They were in this trap of unbelief. Wherefore, receiving the kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God. We go through a trial. You're thinking about your trial. And you think it's all headaches and problems and pain and agony. But what is it for? That you may serve God by going through it. You may serve God by going through your trial. Isn't that interesting? For our God is a consuming fire. What does that mean? What does that mean?
Burns up the junk.
Burns up junk. So what's left?
The good stuff.
Just the good stuff. That's it. See, He came the first time, and I alluded to that earlier, with the flood, and did it with water. Washed the whole earth of sin with water, which is a symbol of His Spirit, obviously. But somebody had to carry that. And that was our Creator. He had to carry that. He's looked around and tried to find somebody to help him. I'm reminded of Samuel. And God was talking to him, and he looked around and says, where can I find somebody to do this work? And Samuel said, here I am. Here I am. Do you say that when you go through trials? Do you realize you're doing the work of God when you're going through trials? Because you're standing for God. against your own fleshly desires. Quite a pull, isn't it? That consuming fire, that the first time he washed it, but the second time, it's a little more severe, isn't it? Burning. That takes care of all the impurities. All of them. I'm reminded of a physical true story where an individual was new on the job and they were working in a plant that melted metal down. And he dumped the liquid melted metal on top of a fellow worker. But guess what? It didn't hurt him. And that's not physically possible. So that when God's fire comes, you are protected. You get under his wing. He takes the blunt. So when those trials come and you're heavy and burdened, he'll carry them. You just got to give them to him. Look at the end game. What's it all about? It's building something in me that he needs. He needs this particular character trait in the kingdom of God. That's why he's calling individuals. You understand that? That's why he's calling all these different individuals here today. Because he has a specific job for that individual. And that individual has to go through certain trials and temptations in order to fulfill that job, to be qualified for that job. That's the blessing that comes from our trials. And the relief. And the confidence that we can be when we go through those trials. So that consuming fire is our protection. Think about it. It's our protection. It's not our destroyer. It only destroys sin. Isn't that protection? Have the sin destroyed in your life? Okay. Let brotherly love continue. Mark and I have been talking about that some here at the feast. But you know, you look at that principle. I'm reminded of being in a mud hole. And somebody's, well, let's say quicksand. And sin is the quicksand. And somebody doesn't reach out and grab you and help you, you can't get out yourself. Oh, God can send somebody. No question about that. He uses his vehicle to pull you out of the quicksand, but God did it. He's the one to hold you up. So remember, plain and simple, when a trial comes upon you, it is for your good. Not for your harm. It's for your good. It's for the edification. It's for training. It's for training what? To be more like his son. I'll skip ahead here because I'm probably running out of time. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. We were singing some songs here today, and I realized that it's only through the power of God that we could even sing these songs. Do you realize that? Because without our minds being opened to really understand what those words are saying, we don't get the benefit of the worship. It takes God. And we bring that sacrifice of praise. When we're in trials, we need to praise him. Thank you for the trial. That's hard to do, let me tell you. It is hard to do, especially when you're emotionally involved in your own state. A minister told me one time I was in such a bad state that I couldn't even sing in church. And he told me, he says, tie a knot and hang on. Tie a knot. Hey, I tied that knot a long time ago and I'm hanging over the cliff now. What'd I do? See, trying to handle it myself. Just trying to handle it myself. And then I realized that this life was never meant to work. What? I thought we obeyed God, you got blessings. No, you do get blessings, but that doesn't mean you're going to, you know, slide into heaven riding in a Cadillac. Actually means you're going to have to do some work. You're going to have to endure as the Messiah did. You're going to have to strive for the kingdom of God. And do it joyfully, Frank. Okay, yeah. But that's the instruction. Joyful. Count it all joy and you fall into diverse temptations. Forgetting that, you know, sacrifice of God is well pleased. Obey them that have rule over you. And that I'm talking about the words of God. That's the problem. We don't take the word. We don't stand on the word. Today, if you don't have a foundation, let me put it this way, point blank. If you don't have a foundation on the word of God, it's a lot easier for Satan to sift you. Because what did our Savior say when he was tempted? It is written. It is written. What does that mean? It's written. Is that just some writing somewhere? No. It means that that's what he gave his people, the truth. You shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's the point, isn't it? It is written. So when trials and temptations come, stand on firm ground. What the word actually says. I don't care what Mark was alluding to, what some rabbi is lying to you about, because they do. They even laugh about it sometimes, especially when it comes to the word Netzah, the Nazarene. They like to do that because they get Christians in a corner and tell them there's nowhere in the scriptures that he's called that. But it's there. That means coming from the old root. That's where he came from. The old root. Interesting. It's there. But some man comes along and tells you because he's a rabbi and tells you and you believe it. That's what it means. Doesn't mean that necessarily. You got to stand on the revelation that God gives you, obviously. But you got to have some foundation on the true word of God. Whatever that is. Because without it, they can lead you and round with every whim of doctrine. Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. This is not something that's temporary. This end game that we're in is permanent. Sometimes I struggle when I'm preaching. I wonder, how can I explain this? How can I make this word picture of what it's going to be like in a kingdom? Yeah, the Bible tells us, you know, the sheep and the lamb and the snake and all that. You know, peace, great peace have they that love thy law. All of that principle. But what's it really going to be like, God? No more sin. No more pain. Can we comprehend what that's like? No pain? Especially when you get a little older, you get some more aches and pains. But no more pain. That's prophesied. But you got to go through this pain period. The old man must die. Has to die. The parable of the sower of the seed. That seed has got to die in the ground before that plant can grow to the next level. And that seed, that nutrition off of that seed is being burned out into the plant. But then that plant has an opportunity to reproduce more seeds. But that other seed had to die first in order to bear fruit. That's what trials and tribulations do. They bring forth the precious fruit of his spirit and his character. Well, at the time, sometimes it doesn't feel that way. I've cried many tears over people leaving a church over the truth because some guy lied to him, twisted the scripture. stopping in the middle of the scripture, quoting it from the pulpit, and stop. People don't read their own Bible and know what it actually says. You need to be a scholar in the Word of God. Understand that. Make His perfect work. Is that my buzzer?
Sorry.
No, it's no problem. You know, when I look at some of these things, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. Isn't that interesting? To whom be glory forever and ever. That's what it's all about. This trials and temptation, that's what it's all about. Let no one will take your joy away. Not even yourself when you're in that trial. Because it's so easy to do. Oh, woe is me. Oh, what have I done to deserve such a thing? It's all my fault. It may be, but that doesn't mean you can't go to God. Actually means you better go to Him and learn the opportunity. Let me put it that way. Learn the opportunity how to approach His throne. And that's what it is. It's an opportunity. I was talking earlier with Liz and I realized that, you know, when I was teaching, some of my students would make a mistake. And they'd be all worked up about it. I made a mistake. That's okay. That's an education. Don't do it again. Learn from it. Learn from the mistakes. Don't let Satan crush you. If you made a mistake, don't let him crush you. Go to the one that will take not your joy away. That's what we need to do. We're the only ones that can really do that, take our joy away. Because we're living outside of this pleasant world. Our hearts and our actions. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That's not just one. It's diverse. It's a lot of them. Count it joy. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Oh, but I want deliverance right now. I'm laying here dying, God, you got to deliver me right now. No, He doesn't have to. Right? Don't get ahead of His time. Obviously, He wasn't done with me yet. He's not done with you yet, or you wouldn't be here. The power of God is mightier and greater than our human nature. And mightier and greater than satanic forces, actually. But let patience have her perfect work, and you may be perfect and endure wanting nothing. Interesting. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth all men liberally, unabated and unabated. Not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavers like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. It's very interesting. How is that done? Wavering. Because you take your mind off of the goal. Interesting, Christianity uses Christ as, you know, basically He's the end of the law, to take that scripture. But that actually means He's the target. He's the end goal. That's the way you're supposed to go. Doesn't mean He erased it. It means that is your place to go to achieve. The bullseye, so to speak. That's what it's about. So, really, if you get nothing else from this sermon, let no one, not even you, take away your joy when you go through trials and tribulations and temptations. Don't let it happen. It's in your ballpark. go where you're staying. The author and finisher, he's the one that's doing the work. He's the one that's cultivating the weeds in your life. He's the one that's washing away the barnacles of sin and burning out the leftover sins. So he has a perfect end product when he's done. If you're familiar with how metal is melted down, you will see that the dust comes to the top. That's what he's doing with a hot fire. He's getting rid of that. Getting it out of you so that he has a pure metal. Pure gold, so to speak. Holy, righteous character. That's what the trials are for. They are not to destroy, as Satan would have you believe. Or that the enemy comes against you, accusing you, when you're trying to do that which is right. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God and isn't subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. For God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the mighty, the weak things of this world to subdue the strong, basically. That's what he's done. He's chosen you. That's why you're here. He's working with you and cultivating your character. So when you walk through this life, you have experiences. And when the resurrection day comes and there's a 100-year period of time when you've got to be working with other people or in the millennium, however you want to view it, you see that you've already been through this. You know the end game. You know that the patience of the saints is very important. But you also know that the trials that they go through. Why do you think he's going to send tribulation in the end time? A great tribulation, so there's never been before. Because he wants more children in his kingdom. And they've got to go through this process. So count it all joy. Don't let yourself take it away. Don't get down in the dumps because of it. Realize that you have a special, special position, and he's working on that particular character trait in you and drawing you closer, not trying to destroy you. Any questions?